Hey everybody, welcome back to another jam-packed fun episode of the South Coast Pro Golf Show with me and Harry Shaw. How you doing, Harry?
I'm very good, thank you. How about yourself?
It's a bit of a shock to the system. We've come back from our trip back to the UK and it's definitely dropped a few degrees. Golf season feels like it might have come to a slight conclusion now.
It's definitely been different. Receiving the pictures that we did whilst we were away in Morocco, of the car park flooded with swans swimming around.
They weren't
swinging, were they? There was no swinging going on in Parley Golf Club. No, they were swimming in the car park.
Difference a week makes.
We chose a good week to go away, though, didn't we?
We did, yeah. Mm. Hence the topic of this conversation today. We're talking about golf trips. In particular, we're going to do a little bit of a recap on the trip that we've just came back from to sunny Morocco. It's not the first place you think of in terms of a golf destination, is it, Harry? When you think of golf trips, you tend to think of Costa del Sol or out into the States or Portugal, Turkey. We chose an out there destination, didn't we, this year?
Yeah, we did.
Morocco, somewhere in this sort of, it's emerging, isn't it? It's an emerging scene out there.
It's definitely getting there. I mean, it's strange, really, because you think, the questions we got, how many golf courses are there? Mm. There's 15 plus golf courses.
Within a very short radius, within a 40-minute drive of most of the hotels in Marrakesh.
Yeah.
You could be an all host of different wonderful venues, couldn't you?
It's mad to think, really, with a giant desert land.
Yeah.
With all these golf courses, when there's probably more golf courses there than possibly Turkey.
Yeah.
And Turkey's the hotspot. So, interesting.
Well, the amount of cost it must take to run a place like that. So when we went, somebody said to you, didn't they, that it hasn't rained for like 2 years out in Morocco. It's basically just a stone's throw away from the Sahara Desert. And it's just a sea of green in amongst sort of like a desert kind of scrubland feel, isn't it? And it's just immaculate how green it is over there.
When amazing.
You compare it to the summer in the UK, even the courses that have got irrigation the whole way around the course, they just look baked. But out there, where it just bakes the whole time, it's just so green.
Yeah, quite amazing, really, where they get the water from and how well they look after it. I was out there in September and it looked a bit dry. Mm. So the work they've done within probably 6 weeks is quite incredible. The course condition, the greens were different to what, obviously, I was playing out in September.
I thought they were really, really, really good. What in terms of recommendations then for people that want to go on a golf trip to somewhere different, what would you recommend that as a place?
100%. I love it out there. Obviously, I've built some very good connections out there now and I'll continue to travel back and forth. Mm. It'll be amazing to see the place in 10, 15 years. Hopefully it continues to build the money or generates the money and the income so they can keep spending it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we saw a lot of half-finished projects out there. But once you imagine those complete, and it's going to be an exciting venue. At the moment, the cost factor is unbelievable out there for what you get. You know, your all-inclusive hotels, your weather, your golf courses, the choices, the travel. It's a no-brainer for me. Yeah. I'd happily go back again and play three different golf courses each time, and it would almost feel like a different holiday. Mm. If we stayed in a different hotel, played different courses, you could be anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not like going back to the same golf course, the same hotel, the same area.
It's quite nice, wasn't it? So we had to drive, we had to hop on a bus from the hotel. Yeah, from the hotel to the courses. And just, it's like a real experience, isn't it? Driving around in Morocco. Everyone just drives where they want, don't they? They just do it. It's manic. And there's a camel and there's donkeys down the road and there's horses and there's... people on mopeds, just like, no one drives fast, do they? But they just drive where they want. It is mad.
They can't drive fast because there's too many people.
Yeah.
The mopeds, there's three or four people on the mopeds.
Sure.
There's lambs and sheep on the mopeds.
I saw some bloke with a shirt like a goat or something on the moped and he was texting at the same time while he was riding it. It's wild, wild. But I think that's quite fun, isn't it? You know, like I think to these golf experiences, they can be a little bit sort of generic, isn't it? You kind of get what you expect. But what I was really pleased about is we had the ability, didn't we, to be able to go and do like a bit of an excursion day, go and check out the local city of Marrakesh and what have you, which is just incredible. Just snake charmers and people building stuff. And it was cool, wasn't it?
It was an eye-opener. It's a different world. I think that golf holidays, we tend to go on a very British, aren't they? We go to an Irish pub. We go to a sports pub. We eat chips. we eat burgers.
Yeah, we just do what we always do.
And you're in a different country doing the same thing. And yes, it's familiar and it works. Mm. But it was amazing to be out there in Morocco. There's no sports bar.
No.
There was no Irish bar. Different food, different cultures. I didn't eat a burger all week. It was great.
I don't know what I ate. It's just, I thought, oh, that looks all right. I'll have a bit of that. And then,
But it's good. It's different. And I'm glad we went for the day out because we saw Morocco. We saw what it was like. It was like a holiday inside of a golf trip. Sometimes these golf trips feel very golf man related, don't they? Yeah. Beer, booze. It wasn't like that.
No, it wasn't.
It was really, really good.
Yeah. Okay. We played three very different courses when we were out there, didn't we? So I think the first course we played, it was, if you try and visualise it, anybody that follows our Instagram may have seen some of the videos and stuff that we put on there. But the first course that we played was heavily populated by plants, wasn't it? Like there was palm trees everywhere and coconut trees and all sorts, and it was like a very kind of tree-lined kind of course, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the first one we played was Royal Golf Course.
Lovely golf course, really interesting, wasn't it?
Very interesting, very visual, could have been in any country though. Mm. That was my concern.
I thought it felt like India.
It was too tree-lined, too green. It wasn't what you would expect from a Moroccan golf course.
I would agree with that.
Complex was great.
Yeah.
You know, the hotel was, sorry, not the hotel, but the restaurant was great. Not very suited for golfers though.
No.
My opinion. Mm. I felt a bit unwelcomed in the clubhouse afterwards. I wasn't quite posh enough.
You weren't. I might have been.
Didn't have my pink tight skinny jeans on and my jumper around my shoulders.
Ah, right, yeah.
It was a bit...
Yeah, it was a bit that, wasn't it?
A bit country club-like, wasn't it?
It was a bit country club-like. I kind of liked that in some ways, but I know exactly what you mean. It
wasn't good for 32 golfers coming in, wanting beer and food.
I think that was probably, that was our only experience on that particular day, was it? In terms of maybe the hospitality here could be better. But I think that's a learning curve for them, you know, getting used to, you know, what they're trying to do is attract more golfers. They would have done very well to have seen how operations work in places such as Spain and Turkey, etc. Because the other two courses, they had that down, didn't they?
Their
hospitality was exceptional and couldn't do enough for you, got the buggies ready for you, cleaned the clubs, asked us if you wanted drinks, etc. And they were great, weren't they?
Yeah.
And they were ready to hold a group of 32 golfers and to look after us as well. And that definitely has a knock-on effect, doesn't it? Like everybody wanted to spend more whilst we were there, and that'll be great for them as a emerging kind of golf course. The second day we played a really interesting course, didn't we? Noria.
Noria, yeah. Noria is the famous almost photo, the photo of Moroccan golf.
Yes.
It's the one you imagine, it's the square green. Mm. It's that iconic picture that you look at. Everyone thinks it's a bit of a gimmick sometimes, don't they? You know, you go there and go, I'm not too sure. Obviously, I've been there a few times, so it'll be interesting to see your thought.
So when the pictures just do not do it justice at all. It's so hard to take a good picture. I've got an iPhone 14 Pro, which I would say is probably not a bad one. I took a picture of that hole and it looked like I filmed it on a potato.
We had a lot of opportunities there on the trip, a lot of potato pictures, didn't we?
And it was just like, this is such a shame. I wish people could see it, like how it was, because I was looking at the pictures before you went away and thought, oh, it's kind of cool, it's a square green. It just doesn't look much, but when you're there and you can see the mountains in the background and you can feel the heat at the same time, it was so, so nice. I think that's one of the prettiest places I've played, and I've played some really, really nice places. And just so different. And it's one of those, it's going to be like a pretty long round because everyone's taking photos on every hole and taking videos on every hole and stuff, because it's got that wow factor to it, in my opinion.
Definitely. Yeah, it's the must play for me. I think if you go to Morocco, a lot of people don't play it. But every hole is interesting. It's an enjoyable course.
Yeah.
You know, you can make it as difficult as you wish. We played off the yellows, didn't we, with our group. Yeah. Wasn't overly long. So it wasn't overly challenging on that aspect, but we went back to the black back tees. Mm. Suddenly it's a different golf course that we played. So there were four or five different tee options for all different abilities. It was great from start to finish of golf course to views to, obviously we had the weather.
Yeah.
And just the surroundings of it was great. There was a bit of history there, wasn't there, with the windmill and the water towers.
Yeah. Do you want to know what I didn't like about it?
Go on in.
That was my delayed hangover day.
Ah.
So I thought I'd paced myself the day before, and I've not been drinking a lot, as you know. But when you're away, or you're on holiday, and you've got to try and be sociable, I did have a few beers, to be fair, and I had a delayed hangover until I got to the first tee, and it kicked in. So I actually only had 1 point after four holes. I think I did quite well, actually, to get 34 points. No, 32 points I had, sorry. I shot, like, four over, which wasn't bad, considering I started badly.
Yeah.
That included four or five birdies as well. So that sort of gives you the bit of a extent of where my golf is at right now. But you must have had a good round, because you're playing well at the moment. What did you have around there?
It's going well. What did I shoot? I shot level.
Yeah.
But I had two doubles.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I had two smelly holes. Or I think there was video footage of me duffing three chips in a row out of I think it was meant to be a water hazard, but there was no water.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Interesting, actually, just going back to, like, chipping and stuff and what have you. If you're a listener and you've not played golf abroad, you should absolutely do that. But one thing you have to adjust to quickly is the different grass conditions.
Yes.
Particularly in that first course that we played, because the rough is just like, what is that? Because it's very short. It doesn't look very much. It's nowhere near as long as the rough that you would get in the UK. You can find your ball relatively easily, but it grabs it, doesn't it? It's very grabby. It grabs the club.
It buries it.
It's
like the videos you see when they go around the major courses. Yeah. That you always have the build-ups. They go, oh, look at the rough, and you drop your ball and it disappears. It was very much like that.
Mm.
It was horrible.
You didn't like it?
Or, well, if you're down in the bottom of it, you can't get out.
Very, very tricky.
If you're teed up on it, then you can have a bit of fun.
How would you play it? How would you tell an amateur golfer to play out of that rough from short range? Your advice is going to be different to mine. You go with it.
Definitely. I always said to the boys, it's more loft.
Yeah.
Take it out. I think a lot of guys are going, I've got 180, so I'm going to hit my 180 club. And you've got no chance to hit the back of the ball. And they were just duffing it along. It wasn't even coming out anywhere. I always said to the boys, get a lofted club, hit it 100 yards, and just get it back into play.
Yeah. What I'd say to a few people is, if you're a right-handed golfer and you're down the right side rough, is to aim along the rough line so it pulls it back into the fairway, and then when you're in the left-hand rough, do the opposite. You've almost got to aim at the right-hand rough from the left-hand rough to find the fairway, because it definitely wants to grab the hosel first, doesn't it, and then wrap over and pull it. And I think that does apply in the UK as well, but that particular kind of rough there, it's so easy just to get it twisted and pull it left. So, take that into consideration when you're playing that. Okay, and then so final day. What was the course we played in the final day?
Palm Golf Arica we played, didn't we? What an experience that was, I think, from start to finish.
That was good.
I think
the bus.
We had a bit of fun with the bus, didn't we? The bus couldn't reverse.
Yeah,
so we got stuck.
So we had to push that.
So, 32 people on a bus with 32 sets of clubs.
Yeah.
We pushed the bus out. That was good fun.
That was good fun. I tried it on my own. That wasn't happening. I said, don't worry, boys, I got this. That wasn't happening. But we got a few of us on it and we managed to get it round, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah,
so entertainment.
Good start.
No, I think as soon as we got there, we were welcomed by the staff. Mm-hmm. It was, take your bag, sort this out. Here's your buggies, here's your drinks, here's the range.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
I enjoyed the experience.
Yeah, that was good.
And nice, what a view. Nice. The view from the driving range and clubhouse. Like, that setup is incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one downside is the 18th doesn't finish at the clubhouse.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like, as a visual of
looking, that's true. Yeah,
having a drink, because it's all open plan, the driving range was there, but there was the first tee or the 18th green wasn't there.
That is true. I didn't really think about that. That wasn't a negative. I didn't think about that as a negative at the time, but I guess if you were in like a society or a group of guys, it's quite nice to see the last group, isn't it?
Just that visual of the mountains, everything there, if that had a green at the end, it would be awesome. But that's a small, I wouldn't say it's a negative.
Interesting, wasn't it? Because that was quite a small, cute little clubhouse, really nicely decorated. It was really, really small, but so, so nice inside and what have you. And you could spend the whole day there, couldn't you?
Modern.
Really, really modern. Nice selection of food and drink and stuff and what have you. And you're about 10 yards away from the range and the bar. You can be sat at the bar and then you can be watching somebody practicing on the range as well. It's really, really nice.
Really cool. And great golf course as well.
You really liked that one a lot, didn't you?
Yeah, I liked it last time I played.
Maybe
I think
you shot like 600.
I played well twice around there now.
Yeah.
To me, it's a proper golf course. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a lot of wasteland, but there's a lot of water hazards that are in play. I think the other courses are more visual, where it looks pretty, but you're doing well to lose a golf ball.
Yeah.
I know we're all different levels of golfers and we can all lose a golf ball, but this golf course was, you had to think your way around.
Mm.
You had to hit it in the right place. And some interesting shots,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really big hazard. It makes sense that they do that, because otherwise they're wasting all loads of money on trying to get more grass. And actually there's these massive bunkers areas that are sort of 200 yards long and about 100 yards wide.
Yeah.
That you've got to go over. And the amount of buildings that they've built around that place.
Well, they've built a new town, haven't they, it seems?
It's like a whole town surrounding it. few little tiny little villas and stuff, which are kind of, some have got, they've all got swimming pools, some of the people who are inhabiting right now, but then, I don't know, I guess there must have been 1,000 that were just empty being built, at least. Matt. And somebody told me they were being sold for $350,000.
Okay.
Which you
about
know.
£300,000, is it?
Grand.
Like that, yeah.
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 I mean, they did look nice, to be
they
fair.
They were cool. They were cool places.
Yeah.
But it looks a long way off at the moment.
I think it's going to take 5 years.
Yeah.
And that'll be a great venue.
Be busy. Mm. Be a busy place. Be interesting to see it once it's done. It looks like The Walking Dead at the moment, doesn't it?
It's
just nothing.
It's really cool,
ghost
isn't
town.
It? There's nothing there. It's just empty shells of these villas and stuff. But you can see the potential in it, can't you?
Yeah. But no, that was a good location. That was good. Good golf course.
Mm.
Good hospitality. Which was nice. I know a few of the boys then went on to the next day. Obviously, we had our day tour.
Yeah.
Some of them went and played the Montgomery course, mm-hmm. which is, I think, known as probably one of the more popular golf courses in Morocco, I think, because of the name.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it looks like they're building a lot more properties, villas, whatever they're doing there, because we had the feedback that it was a bit like a building site at the moment, which I think, it's not a negative. I think that's a positive that they're trying to grow the area. To keep pushing to cater for more golfers.
Mm.
I think if there were two or three large groups like us out there, could have been chaotic.
Yeah.
Because we pretty much had the golf course to ourselves, didn't we?
Yeah.
So holding a pro-am over there, or if there's numerous groups like there is in, you know, where La Manga, you know, where we've been before, all the golfers, I don't think it could cope at the moment.
Not yet. No. Not yet.
It will do.
I think it will get there. It feels like it's going to be kind of like what Turkey was, is what this is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to become a popular tourist destination. We used a company called Golfing Days.
Yep.
If you haven't, you may not have heard of Golfing Days, but it's a great travel company where you can get some really, really good deals to play either UK golf or overseas. Like a bit like your golf travel and your golf rates kind of thing, but a bit more of a bespoke service.
Personalised touch. Yeah, I mean, I've worked with the guys at Golfing Days for the last few years. Obviously, we've partnered up with them here at the hub. So it's run by three golfers. Mark's the owner, Ollie, and also Liv. So it's three of them that run the business. I mean, they give you the, I suppose, the customer service most companies don't, being large call centres. Obviously, very easy to book your trip with other guys, but as soon as anything goes wrong or you want to change, then you can't get hold of anybody. These guys are on it straight away. They do travel trips. Obviously, we do a lot of travel trips through them. They also hold events. They do professional events, pro-ams, and also amateur team events. So definitely recommend checking them out. Or if you want information, then message me or Dave. They have regular trips. They've got an offer on at the moment, the Belfry, for £149 for the winter, one night stay.
One night stay.
Two rounds of golf, one night stay, bed, breakfast.
Wow.
Incredible deal, really. Obviously, I know in Birmingham, the weather is very questionable at the winter.
Yeah.
But for £150 for two rounds and a night stay, that's
good.
It's well worth just going up there.
Well, it cost you that for a room.
Yeah.
It cost you that just for the room anyway. So, yeah, that's a great deal.
Really good. But no, the guys at Golfing Days are fantastic. So, yeah, I can't fault them enough.
Nice. So, what's next?
What's next for us?
Yeah.
What's next for everything? I've got a lot of travel on next year, you know that. We're going to see what happens. I'm away again in 10 days. We're going
to
see...
Where are you off to next?
Off to Portugal. I'm with the guys at Golfing Days in the Pro-Am.
Yeah.
So we'll see what my golf does in an event, because it's been good this year. Thank you.
It's so good.
Thanks to Mr. Bartlett. We had a 3-minute putting lesson and maybe double that on a swing lesson. Mm-hmm. Maybe we hit 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Days transformed my life.
Thank you.
So we'll hopefully continue that in a week's or 2 weeks' time.
It'd be interesting to see. You're a different beast now, aren't you? Because, you know, I think you've always had that ability there, and I think you've had a lot of... You've tried to really work on the psychology of your golf. I think you just seem way more level-headed now than you were before. Not to say that you're temperamental or fiery in any way, but I think you could let a bad shot affect you, whereas now I think you're thinking, how can I make a birdie or a par out of this? And I saw you do that when we played.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you had a little bit more tenacity. It wasn't like this isn't going to be my day anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, I can do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make a prediction that you will probably pick up a few quid.
I'd like to.
I think you're going to pick up a few quid. And then I can take my percentage.
You can have your percentage. You can definitely can. No, I'm feeling confident. I'm really feeling confident for it. Oh, it's been a good year. Obviously the last event of the year now. Season comes to an end. But yeah, no, we'll see how it goes. And fingers crossed. But for us, obviously, we've got Fun in the Sun Volume 3.
Yeah.
Pending. We've agreed to this now as an annual tradition. I think it's worked.
What a nice thing to look forward to every year, though, isn't it? I think November's such a great time to go away, just before the silly season of Christmas and stuff and what have you. And November's always wet in the UK, isn't it? I think it's just...
the week we've just missed, yeah.
It's just absolutely horrendous, isn't it? So it's a nice way to really just kind of end the golfing season, which tends to, in the UK, finish around about September time, navigate October, go away in November, enjoy Christmas, enjoy your New Year's resolutions in January, or don't enjoy them. And then when I think, this is how I plan my life out anyway, when I hit February, I think, ooh, golf season's starting soon. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you're not wishing away the winter. Just split your day up, split your year up with a little trip to somewhere sunny.
Somewhere hot, with a good bunch
with
as
a good
well.
Bunch of people, yeah, yeah. So
we started the trip last year, didn't we? Mm. We took 26 golfers to Langa, went remarkably well.
Yep.
I think we enjoyed it and we said we wouldn't do it again because it almost went too well.
Yeah.
However, after some nagging from our friends and I suppose core group of the trip, we persuaded us to do this and the feedback we've had, it's probably been better. Mm. I think the messages and the stories and the videos that we've had, which obviously it sounds like they all want to come back again.
Mm.
So it's, let's keep doing it. Let's keep going. I don't think we can grow it anymore though.
I think we have potential to maybe get one more four ball. I think maybe 36.
36, I think, is the max capacity
36 is
here,
the max,
isn't it?
I think. Well, you know, you're a megastar now, so we could attract over 100.
Well, we've got the megastar with us now, haven't we? Of our new Instagram face.
Yeah. My Slice Journey.
My Slice Journey.
Yeah,
go and check that out.
Yeah, go check out at My Slice Journey on Instagram.
That's the latest internet sensation.
Let's explain this. So we because you might listen to this will be fun. So our friend who came, Taylor Norman, what a hero, great golfer, having a bit of a shocker on the front nine. I said, if you don't break 30 points, you've got to create a new Instagram page called My Slice Journey, and you have to put your pronouns in your bio, and you have to upload to Instagram once a week. And he had 29 points. So now we've got this new little adventure, haven't we, with him on Instagram. He's doing well. He's got like 56 followers now. So
it's a channel that could take off.
Journey. I think it's could. They could be huge.
There's some good content on there already.
I think there is. I think it could be big.
But he's our superstar, I think. But no, I think we can get some more. So obviously, if anyone is interested, I know we've had a lot of messages asking for the next one.
Yes.
We are obviously hunting for sunny destinations. Mm. Again, if anyone has any recommendations, message us. It'd be good to hear. We've obviously had all sorts of feedback and options, some that can be done, some that definitely can't. I think I had numerous drunken chats with a few golfers we were away with, telling me some very strange places.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because like some people like the all-inclusive because it's a really, it's like you can budget better, can't you? You can budget better. And perhaps that appeals to more people because they're not going to spend more money when they're away. But also some people just want a bit of variety as well, don't they? They maybe want to be able to stroll down into the town or the city or to go to a few different bars on site. So it's just trying to find like a nice venue that sort of perhaps incorporates a mixture of all of those things, isn't it? And these places do exist, so we're gonna hunt and we're gonna make Volume 3 perhaps the most exciting trip
we're gonna keep doing
as we've ever done.
Well, we've agreed if we go 10 years we're off to the States.
Is that it? 10?
Yeah, 10 years
I'm gonna be ancient by then. Yeah,
which put five? Do you think the fifth year we could,
get
big
ones? Jesus,
five. 10. Yeah, 10's like a big number though, isn't it?
You're 40-something, man.
I will be, yeah.
I'll be retired.
All right, we'll negotiate that. So yeah, we're on Volume 3 next.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I think the all-inclusive works with what we do on our trip. As we know, our trip's a social trip.
Yeah.
It's a networking, creating friends type of environment. It isn't coaching golf.
No.
I don't think I had many chats with people about golf after.
I did.
I tried to avoid the golf chats. Yeah, I think everyone was there more
for
the social.
I think people asked you like, I was just slicing off today, what do I do? I think you said, I'll go speak to Dave. I think that's what happened.
That's how Dave earns his keep. Yeah. Dave's in charge when we're there and I'm in charge of all that admin duty. Works well.
Works well.
But no, I think everyone, the friends that were made, from the trip is the main kind of element. You know, yeah. We met some cool people that we wouldn't have ever met. Different backgrounds, different golfing abilities. You know, looking back, I don't think people are really beating themselves up, whether they played well or bad. Or
anything. It's hard not to enjoy yourself when the sun's out like that, isn't it? Yeah. You've got such beautiful places and stuff. One letdown for me was I still don't own any golf clubs.
No, so that's our plan for next year,
so I need
isn't
to get
it?
Some clubs, because like I borrowed irons and I don't hit those very well, and then the only club I sort of owned in that set was my 2-iron. I didn't really use that, so I need to get some clubs sorted. So
that was the Wasteland club, wasn't it?
That was the Wasteland club, yeah, just smack that. So anyway, so yeah, next year I'll have my own clubs, and then I might be threatening you next year, because that's 2 on the trot that I've lost now.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah, we'll have a big money match next year then.
Big game next year.
We'll go. But yeah, club-wise anyway, obviously we've got our exciting journey coming up next year. The hub is officially open. If you haven't been down here, come and say hello. We are working on a nice, I suppose, pre-launch party. Yeah. We're going to call it that, or opening party, whatever we're doing. February, March time, we're hoping to have all the equipment from the major brands. Mm-hmm. We have got a lot, or near enough all of them confirmed now. Yeah. We just need the new equipment to come out. Mm. So yeah, we are working on a massive party here at Parley with games, events, meeting, drinks, food.
Yeah, prizes.
Prizes.
Fun.
Everything, really. Yeah. So our attention is being turned to that now. And then hopefully we can negotiate with these brands, and hopefully the club reps, we can get you some golf clubs.
Yeah, nice. Well, that'd be nice, yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That'd be nice, yeah. That'd be good. Cool. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll catch you on the next one.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.